Welcome to Creating Cashflow for May 5th, 2024. I would introduce myself, but everybody here knows who I am. So I'm Christine Aller. Jen and Karen Eileen, do you have a question to start with? Okay, let's go, Karen Eileen.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Multi-tiered question. You tell me which part of it we want to pick first or which part we want to take and leave the rest.
Sounds good.
I remember us talking about me doing like a 90-day sprint, like a
Oh, let's pause because for all the other people listening, Karen Eileen is a cash flow tiger in her job as a performer and voiceover coach. And so we're now talking about other avenues of cash flow for you aside from those main things. So, your question.
Correct, correct. Thank
Yes.
you. I forget to
Yes.
introduce myself. Thank
I
you.
forget to ask you to introduce
Because
yourself.
I know you, because you're Christine.
Right.
So we talked about me doing like a 90-day dedicated sprint to find W-2 or W-2-ish consistent work. I feel like May, June, and July is that 90-day window. Like I'm
Okay.
ready to do that. I am feeling what I would call burnout. I don't know what else it is. I'm unpacking it. But the one-on-one voiceover coaching for the big companies with the lower dollar amount, I feel exhausted. And I feel like it's not a good use of my time. However, I have bills to pay, money that needs to come in. So I'm busy researching whether or not the state of Florida or the federal government or anybody would pay me to assist my older parents, one of whom is dealing with a wellness issue. And so far it's very, very sparse, limited. There's one that I found in Florida that may give me $160 stipend per month, but it's that level of tiny. So I am considering approaching these family members and saying, I will do the things you're trying to find somebody to do for you and what they want somebody to do. I can't even believe I'm going to say this out loud, Christine Aller. What I would do for them is I would cook. And I would clean for them in exchange for dollars for a limited time. Maybe I join this to the 90 days where I'm looking for my work because I'm so burnt out on the one-on-one giant group company coachings that this feels like it would be a nice change. I'd be out of my booth, I'd be moving, I'd be tasting and yummy. I just want to run this by you to make sure I have not completely lost my mind because I'm leaning into something that before Abundance Bound and before Cashflow, I would have been like, oh no, we're not doing any of that. I wouldn't be adding to my Social Security. I wouldn't be adding to my SAG-AFTRA pension and health. However, it might be an interesting temporary win-win, but my brain is, I'm not trusting it yet. So.
So how much are you going to get? And how many hours are you going to work a week? And how are you going to keep your boundaries around those hours?
Those are the best questions ever. I'm not sure how much to price this. I'm gonna have to like Google what does a home chef make? What does a house cleaner make? Like I kind of have an idea. Like most of the sort of high-end house cleaning people who are really good in this part of the world in my town charge about $150 for 4 hours. That's kind of the going rate for the cleaning thing. The cooking, I have no idea. And I don't know, does she want cleaning once a week? I don't, and here's where I don't know if this is a good fit because they need their money. Who knows what's happening with my dad and how that's going to unfold medically and what they're going to need. However, this is something they would pay somebody else to do if they could find the right person.
Are they
So I don't.
actively looking for the right person?
They have looked, and to be really fair, for everybody listening, my dad, comfortable sharing this, my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's during the pandemic. They're both in the home with me. My mother is his primary caregiver, but I'm like super caregiver support for both of them. We've tried a couple of things. It's not a fit. Nobody cooks the way she likes, and the people don't do the thing, and it has to be dedicated to my dad, even though it's my mom who needs the help. And
But as they've been looking for a person, What budget are they thinking?
I haven't presented this to them yet, and they're not thinking budget because they were trying to figure out how to do it with their insurance, with their long-term care insurance. So the long-term care insurance would pay the person who comes to the house. They've
Okay.
got, so I don't know what those people make hourly or weekly or
So
whatever.
here's the thing. Before we can consider this kind of question on a level of is this going to stress me out more or less or solve a problem, before we can even do that, you have to get the numbers. And the other piece of information you need is, would the insurance company pay a family member to do that? Or will the insurance company only, how do they pay? Do they reimburse the person who's providing the service? Do they pay the insurance person, like your parents, to then pay the per you have to figure all of that out if they're trying to go through their insurance.
So that piece I have, but let me be
Okay.
clear. They're not trying to go through their insurance with me because there is no way for me to be the person paid or reimbursed without me getting certified and joining
Yeah,
a yeah.
that's what I figured when it
Yeah.
comes to
Okay.
like insurance.
Okay.
So you would need to sit down with your mom and have a conversation about, this might be something I'd be willing to take on, but as a legitimate paycheck. And then are they going to pay you? I mean, are they going to pay your Social Security? Are they going to pay, like, how? I'm not, I don't know. I cannot give any legal guidance,
I got that. Yeah.
but it's sort of like they probably aren't. And the other thing is that family members can give family members, I believe it's up to $15,000 a year without tax penalty. You can give family members gifts, financial gifts, $15 per person. And you, Karen Eileen, wouldn't have to pay tax on that
Okay.
because it's coming from your parent.
Oh, could be potentially a gift, like
Correct. But
okay.
there, all I will say to you at this moment is there is absolutely no way you should enter into this without a written agreement with your parents and a formalization of this. Because if you start doing wishy-washy, I'll just start doing it. And oh my gosh, it took me twice as long as I thought it would. Oh, but we're only going to budget this much.
Wow.
Or else it's going to
Wow.
just get, you're just going to get sucked in. And the minute you start doing all of this, they're never going to want another person to do it. I'm not saying that they can't hire another person to do it. I'm saying they're not going to want another person to do it.
Yes, except you and I both know that the minute I get a W-2 gig that I like, I'm done with the cooking and cleaning.
Right.
So, yeah.
But here's the other thing that I don't like about this suggestion.
Okay.
You're saying I'm going to do this while I'm looking for W-2 work. And
Yeah.
this is going to take up your W-2 time. This is going to be your job.
So I would pull way back on the voiceover coaching
Ah,
to
okay.
free. I would ra This is how burnt out I am on the coaching. I would rather clean a house and cook food than coach right now. I need my brain needs that kind of break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then hammer out the details with your mom
Okay.
and evaluate if the amount of money she's willing to pay is something you would be happy to do the work for. And I'm speaking as someone who, for pay, cleaned my mom's house at one point when I was cleaning houses to support my acting career. So, I'm not against this, but it
Okay.
has to be very boundaried and cut and dry.
All right, so what I'm saying this out loud for myself. So what I'm going to aim to do between now and the next cash flow session is to be able to bring an agreement in so we
Yeah,
also have.
something like
Okay.
that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because you have to know how far back you can pull back on your coaching
Yeah.
because you will know the amount of supplementary income you're going to get from this. If you don't know that, you are then just like, ah.
Totally makes it's very weird to think about doing some sort of like contract agreement with family members, and it makes perfect sense to me. So I'm uncomfortable and it feels like the right thing to do. So
Yeah. And why are you uncomfortable with it?
why am I uncomfortable with it? Because I guess guilt. I guess there's some part of me that it's wishful thinking. Like I wish that I was in the place in my life and my career where I could just take a month off and just cook and clean for her to give her a break. I'm not there currently. So
You can,
it feels
but you can say that.
I didn't think to speak that out loud to them.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can say, look, Mom, I've been thinking about this. I wish I was in a position
Yeah.
where I could just take off time and do this for you. And I wish I was in a financial position where I could pay somebody to do this for you. But that's
Correct.
not where we're at right now. And
Not
I was
today. Yeah.
thinking that I know I can do this for you. I'd likely do it with more care than anyone else, but
Yes.
I would have, but it would take up my time. And
Yeah.
so I'm willing to do it for payment.
Okay.
And we can do it as a gift exchange, but we have to do it boundaried and with an agreement. Is that something you're open to? She might say no, and then that's done.
Well, that didn't occur to me. Wow, I had this great idea. I thought she'd be like, yay. Okay. No, so helpful. And thank you for the words because my brain isn't giving those to me right now, but just hearing you say what you heard is like, oh, that feels like so
Of
lovely.
course. Yeah,
Yeah.
this is very emotional for you. I get it.
Oh.
Like, yeah, this is hard stuff. It's an intriguing idea.
Yeah.
I need more information.
Okay, I will get more information. That's very good.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Christine Aller, creator, founder, Creating Cash Flow, the coach here. This is an open floor in that all of our time today is here to answer your questions. Please raise your hand by going to the something on your screen and pressing the other something on your screen. I think it's under raise hand or under reactions so that when I see the raised hand, I'll know how to portion out our time. So, is there anybody immediately that has a question? I have one question that has been submitted to me today that I'll go over, but that person isn't here. So, I can either save it to last or do it now. Looks like nobody has their hand raised. Oh, Jen, hello.
I wasn't going to speak, but since, well, I'll just ask it. So I have a job, where I'm producing, line producing a movie, and it's pretty full time now. It's full time, but like not like we're, there's like no payroll yet. It's just like it's work, but it's just so much work to get a film made, an independent film made, and I'm very comfortable with all of that. So with my side hustle, with my two, I have two students. I did add a student, I think, since last, like you were helping me get one. So I added a student. Now I
Can
have
you
two.
let everybody know what that side
Sure.
is?
I teach cello.
There you go.
So I have an extra private student now. And let's see, it's the month of May, right? And I'm already like, oh God, I really need to tell them that I'm going to basically not be available through, as soon as they go on summer vacation, probably. And then, but I mean, we shoot through September. So I know last time we talked about like having a loosey-goosey kind of thing. I mean, I just don't like, I think I would have to find a sub for them, but I don't even know how I would go about doing that. But how do I resist the urge to jump the gun? I think what I've been telling myself is like, why don't you let them tell you when they're going on their summer vacation? Because that's coming up soon. I mean, school will end. And I think I can pretty much do lessons until the last week of June. So that'll probably cover that. And then let's see. So it's really the last week of June through the end of September, which is a long time. I guess in my head I've been like, okay, what if there is an option where maybe I try to do the lessons on the weekend, which is a possibility. I think I mean, there's no joke that this is a huge movie and it's going to be time consuming. So I'm probably not going to want to teach on the weekend.
Probably.
Probably not. But I guess, like, at the back of my head, I'm like, but when this job is over, my life has no purpose and I need those students. Yeah, so I'm just being, that's what my little lizard brain says, like, well, be careful. Yeah, I mean, there's always the risk of if you find a sub, like they won't come back or whatever. And also, like, it's a long, I do feel like I've, they really like me. So I feel like, oh, have I like misrepresented myself and that I'm like, I'm not going to be available. Have I like fucked these people over? I mean, because they did come to me after having a, they came to me after from another teacher because they wanted to study with me. So, anyway. I think that's where my brain is at with that.
Okay. So the first thing always, what would happen to their cello careers if you got hit by a bus? They
They'd be
would go
fine.
on.
They'd find another teacher.
Be
Yes.
fine. They are going to be fine. And that is a really great energy for anybody listening, a really great energy to bring when you're working with clients, is to just trust that you're not the linchpin in this. They're going to be fine. There are other cello people out there, like they're going to continue on. The only reason you're actually teaching cello right now is for your life, because it
Right.
supplements the income for your life so that you can then also do movies. That's the only
Right.
reason you're doing it in the first place.
It's true. It's true.
Right. And so you are missing some pieces of information, which is, I think, why the emotions are getting stimulated. I think you need to go to all three of your clients and go, hey, I'd like to know what your schedule is. When do you graduate? So that you have those dates. Because what if they all graduated mid-June? And then you'd be like, well, this is not a problem. All I have to do is tell them I'm shooting a movie until the end of September. So that if you want to study with me, we can resume in October, most likely. And you don't necessarily have to give them a sub, but you could give them leads to, like, here's where you can look. You can also look here. Students at this school might be, willing to teach. I wish I knew someone personally I could recommend. I don't at the moment. Like, that's okay. But now is a great time to let their parents know that this is happening.
Okay, so it is then. I
Yeah.
shouldn't wait.
You're not gonna wanna teach on the weekends.
I'm probably not going to. Maybe for pre-production, I don't know.
But here's the thing. This job is close to what you'd like to be doing. And it could provide you with leads to other work. So what if you gave yourself the time to also enjoy the process, hang out with people, build relationships, like network, so that you're using the job for the maximum it can provide rather than doing it and then leaving to go do this other thing. I'm just
So
wondering.
then I should just be comfortable with the fact that like I might just have to rebuild the cello students later. Like they might go away. And I would
Yes.
just rebuild later if I need to.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Because the truth of the matter is, you have no idea what your October is going to be like. You could meet somebody on set that hooks you up with your next gig.
Or maybe I just want to like go travel and like go to like
Exactly.
hang out and
Yeah. Yeah.
take a rest for a month. But yeah, no, you're right.
So when you bring new students on, you just always want to communicate with the family is like, look, I love teaching and I'm really good at it. I can't promise I'll be around forever because I'm a filmmaker. So, but when you have me, your child will be in great hands and they will grow. That's what I can promise you. I just can't promise you I don't do this for a living.
I think, and I think I was like half clear. Like they knew that I'm a freelancer and I do lots of really fun things, and like occasionally I won't be available. But like this is a long, like it's like July, August, it's 3 months. That's
Yeah. And you can be frank with them. I totally understand if you want to move on permanently to another teacher. That's fine. When the film ends, I'll reach out. I'll let you know where I stand, and you can let me know where you stand. Because they might also get a teacher and not like them as much as you. And the minute you're back, they're like, Jen, you know. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, yeah, it's gonna be a funny conversation, because I think it'll just come out of when I tell them what I'm gonna do, it's gonna come out of left field, but that's okay. It's all
Yeah. And I would preface the conversation with, like, I am not excited to have this conversation with you. And I know it's coming out of left field. Like, just say it. Because I think this is for everyone. You know, I think sometimes, we want to kind of manage everyone's feelings through a situation. It's like you can't. They're going to have their feelings. But if you're upfront and honest with how you're feeling, then that sort of takes a lot of the pressure versus them kind of sniffing that you're trying to, like, oh, it's okay. And I'm, yeah, forget it. They'll smell it and then but they won't know what they're smelling and they'll just get confused.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, but congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
Yeah,
you.
that's what I'd rather have you do than teach the
Right.
cello. So it's all lovely.
Yeah.
And what if you just work in partnership with the universe and go, just, I trust that you're going to work all of this out for me. Everything is going to be fine. Everything's going to be
You're
fine.
always asking me to do that.
Yeah.
And it has, you're it always like yes. It does always work out in a way. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's my worry brain of like, oh,
Of
but
course.
it may not.
I have one of those too, by the way. I have one of those too. Totally normal. Yeah. And for everyone listening, when you know something that's gonna happen, give people as much advance notice as possible because they will thank you for that. We don't because we fear that, oh, but I'll lose the client. It's like maybe, maybe not, but at least they'll remember you as above board and good at doing business. And part of doing business is giving people as much advance notice as possible so you don't leave them hanging.
Great. Then I'll definitely tell them this week.
Yeah. And just be
Yeah, have a
like,
conversation.
prepared for them all to leave. And then if they don't, bonus.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
Good
thank you so
job.
much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. I'm glad you brought this up because this is a really good conversation to have.
You. I appreciate having it.
And it's
All
always
right.
good to see you.
Good to see you too.
I'm house sitting, so this is my odd little background today.
I was wondering.
Like, not my style. Yeah, house sitting for a friend. Helen.
Hello. Hi. Okay, I have one of my non-question updates, except I think it's actually it is a question. I've been kind of thinking through the past couple of minutes. So, honestly, I can't remember.
Introduce yourself first. What,
That's right.
who are you? What's your side biz?
Hi, I'm Helen Highfield, and I have a side business called Highfield Home, and I. Well, so this is part of the question is, and I've talked about this a few times on here, but I have a fresh layer of it. I'm waffling between calling myself an interior designer versus an interior stylist. I feel more comfortable with interior stylist. So that's my introduction, is I'm an interior stylist. Though I think what I'm doing is sort of like design. I just don't feel comfy with that yet. Partially because the question immediately after is like, oh, what kind of design do you do? What style? And I'm like,
Oh,
that's not quite it.
I serve my clients' taste, whatever my client needs.
Yeah. And that's a much more efficient way of the ramble that I usually say. Okay, I can't remember if I talked about this last time, but I have my first client who is a referral from a friend, and I started to talk with her before I left for a bunch of work. And then I this week built some muscles as I had a raging anxiety attack about an email to be like, hey, I'm back in town and we should pick back up, because everything in me was like, you should have already fixed all of her problems that you talked about. How dare you be like starting from, like, you should have been emailing, you've dropped the ball, which is not at all true. I came back with plenty of value. I had a quote from a workshop. I had a thing, an idea from a friend, and was like, you could even buy this from her. But like, my brain does things. Anyways, and also in talking with her like a month ago, I used it as a push to make an official email. So now I have Helen@highfieldhome.com.
Love it.
And so like even part of that anxiety was like, I was able to add it to my phone, but I couldn't add it to my computer and had to update the, it's all these stupid,
Oh, I do know.
where I'm like, well, I have to update the computer and back it up in order to do the update in order to do the thing. So stuff like that. And what I'm wondering, I met with her yesterday, had a big, felt very anxious about it because my brain has decided or had decided that she's like way cooler than me. And I was just like having like, oh my God, I'm like a total goob and she's cool and whatever. I met her, she's a human and it was lovely. And I, brain, calm down. My question is, we didn't leave with like a, if it also felt more friendly. So like this isn't official like stranger client. This is like friend of a friend. He was there. It still feels friend adjacent. I on the phone call like a month ago, I mentioned my price. I didn't lay out any specific structure of like, and this is how we will do payment. This is da da da. I've been sticking with what your suggestion a while ago of like packages. I kind of mentioned that. So I guess I'm here to hold myself accountable to like, we had the meeting yesterday. I have ideas of stuff that I want to start to pull together to her for her, but like we haven't followed up about money. I'm wondering, do I just do a friendly reminder, this is my rate, I do packages, this is how we'll do it. I usually do half up front, half after, or something like that. Or do I use this similar to the email as a kick in the pants to make a contract and be like, here is official paperwork contract, which I've yet to do because it's all been friends. And everybody's just like Venmoing me. I have the contract from the designer I worked for that I could like mimic some of it. I think probably some of it's a little more than I need to have.
Probably.
I also just got, I think I'm like a little somehow like commitment phobic to the contract because I'm like, now I have to be really clear about what I'm providing. And I
Right.
feel not entirely solid in that. I do. My friend also, who is making me a logo, just sent me a bunch of files. I don't know if it's the final, but I think it's close to final. So I'm like, okay, well, then this is also the kick to like put the logo on a contract, do the marketing here. That's where I'm at. Because there's a part of me that's like, I could also just like reach out to her and be like, hey, reminder, here's the rate, and also here's some links, and here we go. Or do I, no, I gotta do the hard thing. Damn it.
Universe is giving you a little kick out of the nest because now you're going beyond just your immediate friends. This is beyond just like Venmo. Because my first question to you, outside of your friend circle, how do you know when someone is a client? What is the indication to you that you have both crossed the threshold into, oh, we are now doing business? What is it?
Well, that's a good question. I will attempt an answer. I don't have a solid one. Because also worked into this is in the past 2 weekends, I'm like trying to be a person who goes to social events and gets out of my house. And
Gotcha.
at both of these, I'm so tired. Both of these, I've done the little like, oh, what do you do? Da, da, da. And I start talking about it. So I'm like getting better at my pitch. And with both of them, I was like, yeah, they're like, oh, well, I might need someone. Like one lady was a realtor and she's like, my clients might need someone. And I was like, I'm someone. You should for sure do that. And then yesterday at a party, these guys were like, oh my God, we're terrible at that stuff. We would love your help. Totally. Wait, let me get my, I'll get your number from so-and-so. And I was like, here's my Instagram. So I've been handing out my Instagram and making people follow me. And then with a little bit of a like, I have three posts that you'll watch me grow on Instagram, but here's a way to connect with me. So I guess I would say it's that they express an interest is
Nope.
step one. No.
That's step one. I'm saying, how do you know someone has officially become your client?
Like, how has it worked in the past, or how should it work?
How should it work? How do you want, what do you want to signify someone has
I think
become
I
your
want to
client?
get paid.
That's what agreements.
Yeah.
Agreements are for
Yeah.
is it moves a conversation from just like, oh, this might be nice. And I
Right.
cannot tell you how many people, oh, in the course of my lifetime have been like, oh, I need an organizer. Oh my God.
Right.
Oh, and I
Right.
never hear from them.
Right.
So there's a lot of talk in these kinds of businesses and a
Yeah.
lot of interest expressed. But there has to be a clear demarcation
Right.
when you have moved into become. So it's basically like this. I'm so glad you're interested, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, yeah, let's work together. Great. I'll send over the paperwork and the payment link so you can officially become one of my clients. You can use
Yeah.
that language so we can
I love
officially
that.
become one of my clients. I'll onboard you as one of my clients.
Yeah, I love
Let
that.
me know when you're ready to be onboarded as one of my clients. That's a fantastic sentence.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say you're at the point where someone's like expressed a lot of interest, but you're not really sure. Then you can send an email that says, hey, Margaret, I just wanted to follow up. I have time in my schedule in the next couple months. Let me know when you're ready to be onboarded as one of my clients. Hope all is well.
I love that.
That's it. And then they can let you know. And if someone has said, like, yes, then you're like, great. The email is, here's the attached contract. Please sign it and send me a screenshot back. And here's the link. Here's the agreement breaks down the pricing. Here's the link to pay. When I get your first payment, you will be officially onboarded as a client. And you do not send them a link to any cool thing they can buy until
Well,
like you don't
so
start working.
that and that, yes, because that was roped or built into all of my anxiety with this chick, because we had a phone call and then she was asking me questions, being like, what about nightstands? And I felt like horrifically guilty that I hadn't been like, here's five options for nightstands. Instead, I was like, I would love to come by and see the place to get started now that I'm done with my work. And so now I have to do the, and now pay me.
Oh, you're not coming by until
Oh, I already
contract
went.
payment.
Yeah.
You can say, I'll come over. I'll need the contract ready and payment by the end of our set time together. And you can,
Got
you know, you and then you can stand there while she Venmos you. You know, like it
it.
has to be real, and the
Yeah.
person taking it seriously has to be you.
I know.
You're the leader, and they will follow. And if you're not going to ask for payment, they're not going to volunteer it necessarily. So the thing is that your anxiety is going to go down actually when you do start being very clear with people.
Oh, 100%. I'll say, I don't know if I've talked about this before. I've done essentially this with the acting coaching that I do. because I'm on my own now. And I have like a little blurb that's just saved when someone's like, "Hey, they so and so said I should coach with you." I'm like, "Boilerplate incoming, burp, and here's like, and here's the breakdown. Here's what you do. I expect payment before, blah blah blah, blah blah blah." And it has made my life so much easier because I don't want to deal with all that. Yeah. Okay, now I have to build that for my field home. Yeah.
And now let's say that you were at a party and you and I were talking, and I'm just like, oh my God, yeah, like my whole living room thing, and I have this lamp thing, and I express my lamp problem, and you like literally know the lamp I should buy. Feel free to follow up from the party going, so great to talk to you. Off the top of my head, this came while we were talking. If it's not right, there's lots of other possibilities, but I just thought it like it's okay to do one of those every once in a while when the spirit moves you. But when someone starts to turn the conversation, because this happens to me too, with back when I was organizing, they'd start turning it's now it's a consultation. Doctor's office to you, but
Doctors,
here's
yeah.
what you do. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited that you are so, it sounds like you're so excited and ready for this transformation, and we can totally dig into it if you wanted, to become one of my clients.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
just don't.
Yeah.
That's not your job. And in
Yeah.
a way, the natural tendency, of course, is to think, oh my God, if I do some research and send over all these links, I'll get the client.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
They'll take the links and run, forget it, and that they're not serious. If they're serious,
Yeah.
they'd be paying you.
Yeah. It's funny. I've heard the designer I work for, she kind of would bitch about this stuff. And because I didn't trust her on other things, I was always like, okay, we can calm down. But it makes sense.
And because you're not having a lawyer like draw up this contract,
Right.
it's not like it's anything you can take to court as ironclad. That's not what it's about. It's a document that explains this is how I work, this is the payment, this is how you pay. Are there
Right.
refunds? Are there no refunds? How do you pay if you're picking up a couch for them? Like, how does that
Right.
work? Here are the hours that I'm available to receive and send communication. This is how I like to be communicated with. Text, like
Yeah.
how.
Yeah.
It just clarifies everything,
Yeah.
and it's putting it on paper so that you're
Yeah.
both on the same page, literally. That's what it's
Literally.
for.
Yeah.
Your first one doesn't have to be perfect. Steal from her language,
Yeah.
and then you'll just keep modifying it from
Yeah.
client. You'll be like, oh, I gotta add that. Tick, tick, tick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 'cause I
You've
don't.
got this. You've got this. You've just never done it before. But that doesn't mean you can't do it. You're going to do a great job. You are going to do a great job, Helen. And obviously, it's time because the universe is telling you that.
Dang it. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And how do you talk back to your brain, to your anxiety? How do you see it? Do you get angry at it? Like, how do you deal with it?
No. I'm very compassionate with myself, but like just being able to label it gives me plenty of distance to go like, oh, that's a thing. I mean, I'll say yesterday in getting ready to go to this meeting, I was like giving myself extra time. Like I was caring about what I was wearing and I was thinking about this leader. I was like, you know, it's LA. I could roll up in some athleisure and like still look cute and be fine. And it's like a friend of a friend and he's gonna be there. Like it could be fine. And I had some on and then I was like, no, but you're asking her for money. Wear a button down, like put some buttons and a collar. And so like I made my outfit like a step above and I rolled up and they were like basically in pajamas and I looked like the professional. And
Yeah.
and then I don't know, mostly what I tell myself with anxiety is like, this is temporary. Here are the concrete things you can do. And what I just keep running into, unfortunately, is that I'm okay on the other side every time, which is great and infuriating because I still am getting anxious. But I keep going like, well, last time I was really freaked out about this thing, it turned out fine. Just sit in it until it's fine.
Right. That's right. Good
Yeah.
job. Good job.
Thanks.
For everybody listening, you want to dress so that if you're standing there with your clients, an observer would be able to pick out who's the leader. That's how I
I
think of
like
it.
that.
Now, you might have really well-dressed clients, and then they'd think you're all the leader. They'll think you're all elite. The very worst is they think you're a team of leaders.
Right.
But you never want someone to be like, oh, I think that person's the leader and it's not you.
Right.
That's how you use your attire. It's not about being fancy,
No,
it's about having leadership energy.
yeah.
So think about it that way.
Yeah, totally. I like
Yeah.
that.
And I mean, I say that knowing that when I was an organizer, I'm showing up in like, I have to do grub work. Like, I'm not
Right.
fancy at all. But when I
Right.
first started out, before I had a reputation, I got little shirts made which said personalized organization, and I had my little overalls that I wore every single time. So it was like my little uniform because I was here to do a job, you know? And then if because I was kind of dressed slight, although when I started getting money, I started buying slightly nicer clothes and still wearing them to clean out garages because
Yeah.
that was leadership energy. And then you can
Yeah.
also energetically bring leadership energy
Yeah.
to it. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's just
Totally.
help. Yeah.
Yeah,
Good,
that
good, good.
makes sense.
I'm
Thank
happy
you.
for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take care. Cricket.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Introduce yourself to everyone. Let them know what you do for your side business.
I will. Also, I have to move the camera so that I look like a professional. Hi, everyone. See, that's much better. Now you think I'm in the film industry. Maybe I'll fix my hair. My name is Cricket Rumley, and I am a film festival strategist and consultant. I do it professionally for a film school, and I do it on the side. And I am also a novelist and screenwriter
That's
from about 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. every morning.
me too, me too. Okay, I'm a film festival strategist. You want to say, I think a better way to say it is I'm a strategist who helps filmmakers get into the right festivals. Because at first glance, some people might think a film festival strategist, oh, she helps film festivals
People
get
often ask that.
started, or I'm a strategist who helps filmmakers get into the right festivals. I would say something, I would say it like that.
I think I need to be a little more specific and say I am a film festival consultant who helps filmmakers strategize festival plans because I cannot guarantee anything about anyone getting into any festival.
I like
Although
that language better, and I like the word use of the word consultant because it sounds fancy.
it sounds fancy. Yes, I don't want to guarantee anything, although I am very good at it, y'all. Anyway, thank you, Jen. Jen's one of my clients and she's doing quite well. I have a question. I had sort of some massive frustration this week at my day job that I think is one of those things that when you're doing really well and then the universe is like, oh, hold on, here's another test. So Christine, you have warned me before about giving away too much and using my energy when people ask me for a lot of things
for free. And in the film festival world, I have needed that for a while to build relationships with festivals and to do work for them for free. And then about a week ago, a really important Southern Oscar qualifying film festival asked me to be a judge. And I was really honored. And then I found out that it doesn't pay and they won't even fly me out there. And they're like, if you could get yourself there, we'll give you a VIP pass, which costs them nothing because they're throwing the event anyway. They're running that VIP room anyway. And I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna tell them no. I honestly, when I got that email back, because I asked how much work is it, what's the timeline, it's gonna be 30 to 40 hours worth of work. And it doesn't mesh with my timeline for work that I do that I do get paid for at another festival. But rather than tell them to fuck off, which is what I really wanted to do. Like, do you understand that you are asking for this much free labor? It's remote work. It's not remote. It's remote volunteer. Anyway, I did ask to have a meeting with them because they did come to me and I don't know them. And I do actually want to have a meeting. And so I have a meeting set up for Tuesday. And I'm basically going to say no. And I need help. My southern female self does not know how to say no really well and leave the door open because maybe next year they have funding to bring their judges out. Maybe there are other things that I can negotiate with them, even in the meeting. Even in the meeting, like maybe there's something that they can pay me for. So I need help with that. I also need help not letting my day job make me crazy because I have to care less because it makes me crazy some days, some weeks, even though I love it. I do love it. It's colleagues and excess demands and no, and not enough support. Like I don't have an assistant. It's all me. There's no knight in shining armor assistant on the horizon. And I just need help, like mentally distancing myself and saying it's just gonna have to be okay. And
Let's
also
talk about
telling
that.
people no.
What's gonna have to be okay? When you are you gonna tell yourself it's just gonna have to be okay? What does that mean? Things are gonna not get done? Like, what's gonna be okay?
Yeah, I realized this week that I want to do an excellent job for everyone all the time.
Good realization.
And I'm like, but what I care about the most is being in this chair over there at 5 a.m. and writing. And I really, there were some later nights and I would have liked, there were a lot of demands where I felt like I was having to just like dig in and rise to occasions. And then I actually, with one of my coworkers, I added up how much time I spent dealing with a student who's a first semester filmmaker who's not ready to go out to festivals. And I'm like, I spent 3 hours this week. This is not a good use of my time or the school's resources. And so I need to have a meeting with the chairs, and we need to develop a plan about how these newer filmmakers, newer students get referred to me because they just need so much handholding.
Well, I'm so glad that student took up 3 hours of your time. That was a little angel that came down to earth to be like, what's it going to take to get her to be like, no more of this? So God bless that lovely soul who
God
did
bless
the job.
Eric.
God bless Eric. We love Eric. Okay. You use the phrase, I was having to do this and I was having to do that. And I want to know, were you actually like, what was the pressure? You would lose your job if you didn't do the things. Someone would be mad at you that you didn't do the things. Something might get written on your permanent record that you didn't do the things. Like, what was the having to?
That is a really great question. None of it was, there was a 4.5 hour meeting I had with a member of our marketing team who lives in New York, and she was here and visiting, and she made helping me one of her big goals, which was great because we were able to knock out in that time together stuff that would take, that we haven't been able to do in a year. So that was really valuable. And it felt like it threw off my schedule for everything. And I think that was part of it too, is that it was just such a, it was on Monday and it was set, it consumed so much energy and brain energy. It felt like my whole work week should have been over
Yeah,
on
it
Monday night.
did. Yeah, your whole work week shifted. Did you know in advance that was going to take 4 hours of your time? Did you
Had
think it was
asked
going
her
to take
for
an hour? Like,
two. I had asked her for two,
okay.
but what happened is that people, my desk at the school is out in the middle of everything, and no one had, oh, that's another issue. Also impossible to change. And so everyone who walks by saw me with her, and I was introducing her to everyone who had never met her except via Zoom. And so it was actually one of those things. There was so much synergy and excitement, and it was really a good thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it
And
was
it was
great.
worth it. It was worth
Yeah.
it. It just sort of sapped all the energy.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing that I kept reminding myself. It's like, she was there to help you. She has just done all these things and come up with all these ideas and is going to run with all this stuff that all I have to do is like check in on every once in a while.
No, it's great. So when at the end, when you're like, whoa, okay, that was 4.5 great hours, did you ask yourself, okay, well, what's not going to get done this week then?
No.
Yeah, that's the missing question. Because something's not going to get
I
done.
didn't even think of
Right. It's like, oh, well, then all of this stuff
that.
also has to get, no, imposible. They're only paying you for 40 hours a week. So something's not going to get done. Because this wonderful thing got done. You have to swap it in and out. It can't just be, people like to take projects, and I learned this as an organizing. People like to take organization and like try to pour it into the cracks of their schedule. And I'm like, oh, well, that's not going to work. You can't pour an extra project and hope it just fills in the cracks of your schedule.
No.
Everything else gets done. No.
No. It's true.
Yeah. So that when something big like that, a curveball, sometimes curveballs are good, sometimes they're like, oh, it changes the rest of your schedule, and you have to ask yourself, well, that's not getting done, and that's not getting done. And then you move on and do the rest of your week in your 40-hour container. And then when people are like, oh, cricket. Can you please? I would love to, but I can't accommodate that.
Wow. Where's my
Period.
notebook? I would love to, but I can't
I can't
accommodate
accommodate.
that. Here's my notebook. I'll use this one. That's good.
And
That's
then
helpful.
if, and 50% might, 50% won't, but if they do ask you, well, why? Then you'd say, because. All of my time this week is spoken for. And the key for you, especially, is one sentence at a time. You
Mm-hmm.
get asked something and you give a one sentence reply. You do not keep talking to manage their feelings. You don't keep talking to, like, let me fix it for you in another way. You just go, I can't. And then let them have their reaction. And if they ask you why, you tell them the truth, because all of my time is spoken for. And then if they push back, well, Cricket, but this really needs to get done for the department, blah, blah, blah. You go, okay, what should I take off my plate to do that? Well, okay, well, what's that? Well, I have to do this for Jonathan and this for this department. Oh, okay. I mean, because you feel free to, like, ask Jonathan if that's, put it on them. If you want me to do your thing, then you better go get something else off my plate. And they probably won't want to talk to Jonathan. Or maybe they will.
That is really helpful. That is really helpful.
Here's something I want you to write down. Their problems are not my problems. When someone's asking you for help, they have a problem. But their problem isn't necessarily your problem. You get to decide if you have the bandwidth and the time and the willingness and the you want to help them. But I think there's a bit of, like, instant transference you have of, like, if someone has a problem, it's also your problem. And it's not.
That
And
is
that includes
exactly right.
clients. Clients, their problem is not your problem. You can help them with the problem, but you don't need to take on the energy or the urgency or the anxiety of the problem, because that's not actually your problem. And as we learned with Jen, you get hit by a bus tomorrow, somebody would take care of it, and it wouldn't be you. So everyone is fine with or without you. You're not the linchpin. You're not the savior. Trust me, I spent 10 years learning this the really hard way. I had it beat out of me. And it's 100% true, and it makes your life so much better. You're not that important. And you don't need to save the day. Their problems, not your problem. You get to decide if you want to help them. Have you, what I want to know this, I'm literally asking you because I don't know what the atmosphere of your office is. But if you wanted to get something done at your out in the open desk, and you put on, you don't have to listen to anything, but you put on a big giant pair of headphones, and then you put a little, you know how when you go to cafes and you get a number on a little stand? You get one of those little stands and you put a little brightly colored neon note card that says, no questions until four. Working, no questions until four. And then you just set it on your desk. What would happen?
Okay, well, first of all, I do have big headphones because I have to watch films all the time. And the other day, I realized that I had them on and I was not watching a film. I was like, why did I put these on? I like the idea. I do have a little I have something that I can use. This little
A?
thingy.
Yes.
Yes, okay, I'll take this to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
And you
then
can just say door closed, open again at four. Because you don't have a door and that's not fair.
I don't have a door. And
So make yourself a door. And the headphones are paramount.
Okay, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that. That might help
Yeah.
me from not killing someone. That's a great
Exactly. Because
idea.
there's the good news, I'm guessing, the good news about everything that's happening to you at work, it's all within your control. We get angry that people ask us stuff because it's like, oh, now I have to say no. And then you're pissed that they're making you say no. But if you get really good at saying no, then it's fine. People can ask you all day, every day for everything.
I think that's a really great point. I think that's a really good point that I do need to practice and get better at saying no, and it's not my problem, and pointing students to the spaces where they can get access. Like, and I've already done some things that I am that are saving me time. And students just have to start utilizing that space and that time, that Zoom call.
That's right. That's right. And I think it's really super important. I was so happy to hear you say it. You have to create, and I would create it yourself and present it to your colleagues instead of all of you guys trying to figure this out yourself. Just decide what you would like and see if they'll go with it. Of the filter that someone has to be put through before they get to you. Does the student, it's like a one of those flow charts, yes, no. Ooh, yes, no. Ooh. And if they do not match up with those things, then they have to do the other things first before coming to you. Because you now have value that you can give at a certain level. And doing something with someone who's not ready for your level of help, it's not a service to them and it's not a service to you.
It's really not. And I also did some digging into accidentally the person who does my job at USC. Well, she didn't accidentally. She did invite me to something. And then I just started clicking on all their documents that are listed in the signature line of the email and got to this one where students can register for an appointment. And they're like, if you're a first year student, you do not get a meeting with the top person. You don't even get a personal consultation. You can have a general conversation. And I was like, look at them over at USC, gatekeeping in
Gatekeeping.
the signature line of every single email. I was so excited. And then I feel, I'm like, but you know, a first semester student is capable of making a great film. But then this thing with this kid this week, I was just like, he does not understand half of what I'm saying in terms of the notes. And he also doesn't understand what it takes to get music rights. And I can't teach him.
Yeah, correct. And the fault of having this 3-hour exchange that was like, oh, this is a bad fit. The fault is there was no filter in place and he
There was
got
no filter in
to
place.
you. He got to you. And then, by the way, let's just say someone gets to you again that you're and you are like, oh, the minute you're like, this person's not ready, you stop. You stop and go, you know what? I'm going to stop our conversation right now. And I'm going to save us both some time. You need to do this and this and this and this and come back and talk to me next semester.
And then go.
You stop it instead of trying for 3 hours.
Yeah. It was 3 hours over the course of a week, and it include, so it wasn't just one meeting, but and
How
one thing I
soon? How soon in those 3-hour meetings did you go,
Think I had told him to go talk. He's a student out of New York. And I said, go talk to the coordinator of your department and find out who teaches these classes. And that's who you need to talk to. Who and coordinator writes me and says, so Cricket, you're the person who handles this stuff, right? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is what I told him to do. And this is, and we do not handle, we don't teach people about contract law in the film festival department. That's a producing thing. And so when his own coordinator, who should have had the knowledge to solve this problem for him, when she came back and tried to put it on me, I was like, I just really, now I'm educating the coordinator who's been in that job for over a year. on her own curriculum.
Yes. So, but when in the 3 hours did you go?
That was probably our 1 hour seven, 1¾ hours in.
Okay. Well, that's when you should have nipped that in the bud. Next time.
Yeah.
The minute you're like,
Okay.
this is good stuff.
This is good.
And everything you're doing at your job to lower your energy expenditure there, the boundaries, the putting up your office door, like
Yeah.
the filter for the students, that is all to protect your 5 a.m. meeting in the chair.
That's right.
You are giving them 40 hours a week. That's what you're being paid to do. You're doing an excellent job during those 40 hours. And you're not working a minute more because you got two other things you want to do, your artistic thing and your side biz.
Yeah.
And that is all within your control, which is great. So
That's
control
true.
it. Control it.
That is in my control.
All of it. You can go to your day job and feel placid if you build the muscle to be like, yeah, I can't accommodate that. Well, because all my time is taken for. You know, I'd be happy to help you. Let me know what I can take off my plate. You can ask Jonathan if he can move that deadline, or you can ask Peter if he can find somebody else to do it. And then I'd be happy. If you can free up space in my schedule, I'm happy to help. No energy.
Wow.
Placid. Then you go back to typing.
Put it on their plate.
Because it's not your problem.
That's
You
wild.
have your work.
Yeah. And what about this meeting I have on Tuesday with the fancy film festival who wants me to work for them for free? How do
Oh
I say no
yeah.
to
First of all, I applaud your brain. I love where your brain went. Let me meet with them. We don't need to burn a bridge just because they don't have the money to pay me. That's not, you know,
Right.
that's not
Yeah.
their. Hey, they tried. They tried to get you for free. There, it is, that's okay for people to try to get you for free. And it's absolutely okay for you to go, I don't do that. So basically what you're saying to them is like, I can't accommodate that work without being compensated for it.
Right.
So the compensation would have to be this and this and this, you know, travel, lodging, and a stipend in around the budget range of that. You
Yeah.
guys probably can't accommodate that. I totally understand, but that's what I do. Or the compensation, if there's something else you want, could be like, or it could be accommodated like this, compensated like this. But there's probably not a second choice. You can just say, look, I don't do that. I can't accommodate that request with no
Okay.
compensation. I would need to get this. But if you ever get that in the future, would be super excited. But I was just, then you're wondering what else you might be able to help them with. Is that what you kind of want to know? Like, what do you want from them?
Well, I was thinking, to be a judge takes a lot of time. But to be a moderator or a panelist is like, hey, let me show up and do what I already do.
Right. And then you still get the credit of I was at this film festival.
Exactly,
Exactly.
exactly. And I would like to check out the festival, and I do still have my Southwest Airlines free miles from last year when I hopped off a plane when I came back from another festival. So I could actually go out there
Yeah.
and
So you can say, you know, I can't accommodate that amount of work judging without that kind of compensation. But I would be able and willing to moderate a panel for you. You don't have to say how you're able and willing. They don't need to know you have Southwest miles. That's just none of their business. But I would be able and willing to do this. Is that something that you're interested in? Or, you know, and then you ask whatever questions. And if you're having a meeting colleague to
That's
colleague,
good.
you're really kind of feeling out like, you know, what are you looking to do? How might I, with my experience, be able to help you? I mean, I don't know if you are suggesting panels, or you don't have to put together the panel because that's
Right.
work too, but
Right.
happy to
Right.
moderate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think a nice discussion is what's their goals for the festival?
Yeah.
They're already prominent, they're already an Oscar qualifying festival, but what are their goals? Just so you know, just so.
Just so I have more of a clearer idea. And I would like to leave the door open for maybe next year if they do have funding at that point.
It's not a no. It's
Yes.
simply a, yeah, I can't accommodate that without compensation. I would need to get this, this, and this.
Yeah.
So that's the budget that you would need to have maybe next year.
Okay.
It's real nice. Say
Okay.
no. I love your southern charm. And but the saying no isn't doesn't have to be uncharming. It doesn't have to be
Right.
unnice.
Right.
It's kind of more what I want you to shoot for is neutral.
Okay.
It's just neutral. And neutral takes far less energy than pleasing or refusing.
Yes. Neutral.
Neutral.
All right, I like that. Okay.
Good job. Congratulations for having. Oh, and you must ask them in the meeting, like, how did you find me? And what about me appealed to having me be a judge? That would be interesting to know. They
Oh,
obviously looked you
good.
up and said
Okay.
she could do it. Yeah, so how did you find me and what about me and my background appealed to you in terms of being a judge?
Okay.
That would be good information to know.
That is helpful.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you
Good
so
work.
much.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate
Yeah, good work. Good work.
it.
Whitney. Are you there? Whitney, don't make me sing while we wait for you. No one will be happy. Okay, so while we're waiting for Whitney, let me address the question that was sent in from Sean. Sean is a new Abundance Bound member. He is an artist and he's selling prints in addition to originals and commissions and soon home goods. And he's an abstract artist. And his website, in case anyone wants to check him out, is Sean, S-E-A-N, Hemanon, Hemon, H-E-M-E-O-N, Hemeon.com. Sean Hemanon. I'm messing that pronunciation up. Anyway, so victory he shared. He recently received his first print order from a complete stranger. Yay, it is. I remember when I sold my first thing to a complete stranger, I was like, oh, somebody found me and ordered something and they don't even know who I am. It was very thrilling. Because he said most of his sales have been through people he's known. So that's very exciting. And so basically, he's saying he also is an actor. And he's worked as a freelance event producer and a catering manager just for the cash. But he's also been developing his visual art career and he's made some sales. He has a website. He's working with a social media guy to develop his platform. He has a newsletter. But sales aren't happening as fast as he would like. And his question was like, what else could I be doing? Perhaps I'm not seeing something. I'm doing art fairs, galleries. Instagram has proven a viable resource for sales. Does this just take time or is there something else I could be doing? I understand it's a process. Okay, so here's what I would, the direction that I would take a conversation where we're having it. So, abstract art. That's a very particular type of art. If you were painting horses, there would be a big horse community that you could let know about your art. But abstract art is a bit more like ephemeral. But we still have to ask these questions. Who wants your art and why do they want the art? Who and why? And the why sort of goes to how does someone decide to purchase a piece of any art, let alone abstract art? And there's different reasons why people buy. And your job, what you wrote to me, is you're covering all the bases, website, galleries, in social media, Instagram, art fairs. You're covering all the bases of the ways you can show people your art, which is good because they can't buy it unless they see it and it resonates with them. So you're showing people. But that's only half the process involved with selling art. The other half is storytelling. Because some people buy art because they fall in love with the piece of art. They're like, I want to look at that for many, many, many hours in my life. I want to see it every day on the wall or whatever. They fall in love with the art, or, oh my God, the colors in that just work perfectly with this room. They fall in love with the art. But people also buy art because they fall in love with the artist, or they're fascinated by the artist, or they just want to support the artist. Maybe they're going to put the picture, against the wall in their basement. But they want to buy it because they want to support you. And sometimes people are drawn to a piece of art just because it resonates with them. But other times people are drawn to a piece of art because of what it represents, or they hear the story behind the art and they're like, oh, that just makes the art seem so much more fascinating. Or they hear the story of how you got inspired to create the art, and that story resonates with them. And thus, they want the art because it reminds them of the story. People don't just want art because of the art. People oftentimes, art represents the symbol and the reminder of the story that they resonated with, or fell in love with, or intrigued them, or whatever. So, the piece that definitely needs to be added here is you telling stories about your art, about your process, about you, about, and you can see this on YouTube. I'm not saying you have to do YouTube, I'm just saying that there are artists who are showing their process and talking about their history, the why they do this work, a patron who just bought something, a client who, and then because you're watching them on video, you're also learning about them. And I'm sure that some people are inspired by their art because they like the artist. So we can certainly have a larger conversation about this. I would have to talk to you, and we'd need to go back and forth for me to maybe identify some stories or some things that could be emphasized about you and about your pieces and about your process. But that is the secondary piece. Since you've got the other pieces in place about the showing, I would focus your business around how are you going to tell the story to entice people. In addition to that, also, who wants your art aside from just people who see it and fall in love with it or you or whatever? Well, a lot of times, abstract art, especially, is sold to places like hotels or rented to people who stage homes. Or so you connecting with interior designers and things like that, of like, oh, because abstract art is often chosen for color schemes and things like that. And I know once upon a time I worked in a Xerox store, and one of the things that I Xerox and just introduced me to this whole other world that exists. You probably already know about it, but it was these books back in the day before the internet, these books that were presented to people who were building office buildings and like in designing office buildings and d designing the interiors of hotels. And they could just flip through these books and pick out the art that they wanted. And then they would order like 7 prints of that and 8 prints of that. And I'm sure these books, the companies that kind of do that, the intermediaries between the artists and the hotels, like the booking agents, have this online now, these books. So there's probably companies that you could sign up with who might represent your work and see if it can get sold in that capacity to make some money. So that's the other thing to think about is who is in need of abstract art? And why do people want to buy a piece of your art? So that's where I would, those are my initial offerings in terms of ideas without talking to you directly. But thank you for your question, Sean, and congratulations for joining the Abundance Bound community. Yay! I think Whitney is back. Hi.
Thanks for looping back. I
Yeah,
appreciate it.
absolutely.
I'm going to lower
Introduce,
my hand.
tell us about what your side business is or what you're
Sure.
talking about.
So, yeah, my name is Whitney. I'm a writer, editor, and publisher. I don't know if I call it a side business, but I have a business.
A business, yeah. It doesn't have to be on the side.
Okay, great.
But what is
So I'm a
okay.
publisher. It's a publishing company. It's called Hush Harbor. And I guess my question, there's a little bit of a story before the question. Hush Harbor, we were very excited to sign one of our first authors, which is extremely exciting. We're just a really, really small publishing company. And for folks who might already know artists in the building, that like starting a publishing house from scratch is a lot of work and a lot of labor. So we had an author. It was very exciting. We applied for I'm based in Canada, so it was a provincial grant to support some of the money, but not all of the entire scope of the project. We were really excited about that as well. It was a competitive grant. Long
Hi.
story short, the
Congratulations.
author, thank you. Well, wait till the rest of the story. So long story short, the author pulled out, which was really tough because it's our first title. We made a big deal about it, put a lot of money and marketing behind them, like high level and also just kind of grassroots, like going to events and promoting them. And so as soon as I found out, I reached out to my publishing mentor and she said, contact the grant council and just let them know, just be really frank and honest with them about what had happened. And so I did, and the grant officer told me I had to file a request. I don't want to get too technical about it, but he essentially said, wait until you find another replacement because it'll increase your chances that they'll say yes to your request or they'll say no. And so that was in December. And then by the time February around came around, I pretty much honed in on a new writer, which was extremely fast.
Yeah.
And I worked really hard over the break. And so I had a meeting with them. They're super excited. Oh, that's so sweet. Thanks, Kate. Oh my God. There I go. I already hired three other people for the first project, and I was very transparent with them that, we're switching authors. And so I sent in the request, and then the granting body said, you can't just switch authors like that. So I got poor advice from the grant officer. Unfortunately, because I wouldn't have found a new person and made like false promises. And I wasn't being dishonest. I just
Yeah.
figured this is what they told me. This should be great. I'm interested in publishing them, yada, yada, yada. And so that's not the case. And so I'm very, very, very lucky because the person who told me no actually was a former colleague of mine who helped with our press release when we first launched. So she's trying to do me a solid. And she sent me an email April 5th saying we can't just switch authors, but she says she's going to try what she's going to do. We're almost a month in and I'm kind of panicked. I've already onboarded new people. There's another person I'm supposed to hire next week. And the new writer, I'm supposed to like kind of debrief them and see where they're at, but I actually don't know if I could use this money or not. We have some funds, but it's definitely not enough to pull off the project. So I've been writing on my whiteboard, contingency plan. What is it, Whitney? What is your contingency plan? And I've just been stuck. I think I emotionally am a bit upset still because the first author, full disclosure, was like a friend and colleague of mine. And so I made a lot of business decisions I probably will have never ever do again. And it was a very hard lesson and learned from that. And this person I know in artist circles, but we're not like pals like that. So I feel a lot more confident. But I guess ultimately, I am not the type of person to just sit around and wait for things to happen. So I would like to, like, I don't, I've never made a contingency plan before. I have no idea what those kind of options look like. And I think I wouldn't be as nervous if I didn't just hire three new people because I thought that I had the funds in the original grant to pay them. One of them is a student. And so they have to do like an internship. And so I want to apply for a separate grant so that the first 3 months it's part of their credit. And then the last 3 months, so it's a 6 month contract, I can actually find the funds. So it gives me 3 months for one out of the three employees, but the other people I gotta pay them. So that's my circumstance. I've never made a contingency plan before. And I think the reason why this is so stressful, it's our first project. So it already looks bad that we've had to pull out from the first author, not any like fault of our own, but it just, yeah, I just don't want to, just wouldn't, I would like, yes, any guidance that you may have. And it doesn't have to be publishing specific. It's just like, yeah, whatever you got, I'm all open ears. And I'm going to just go outside because I have cats, but I am listening.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations, still in order for getting picked the first time for that grant. Because getting competitive grants is no easy feat. I've helped write a grant. My sister used to write grants. Grants are, I mean, Jesus. Yeah. So congratulations. You are
Thank you.
obviously so dedicated to this, and your question even reflects how you want to do right by people. And you are so dedicated to doing business and doing it well and doing it above board. So, congratulations on all of that. And
Thank
all
you.
of that speaks volumes for the arc that this business will have with you at the helm. It's just getting over this hump right now.
I just want the first book out and then we can start making some more magic. But like, there's a much longer story, but I wanted to just be mindful of time and people's questions.
Yeah,
But
no,
it's been a journey just to get this far.
I know a little bit. I know enough to extrapolate from that and be like, yeah, this is a lot of work. And because of that, the first thing I would say is that the big picture goal here is for your company to sustain itself over this hump. Your company. And that might mean letting people go. You cannot pay them. But you do not want to put your company in jeopardy
Yeah, absolutely.
because you'll never be able to hire anybody else in the future if your company implodes in whatever way. The only way you'll be able to give people future jobs and future incomes and authors future opportunities is if you sustain your company. And I say that because making decisions like having to let people go is so hard, but you're doing it for the health of the company because you want to hire in the future. So I just want to kind of pull really far back and look at that from the big picture. As you, 'cause I know you're like down in the details, down in the weeds of like, how do I make payroll?
Very much so.
Yeah. And so the thing about a contingency plan, a plan B and C and D, like however many plans, there has to be other sources of money for you to even have a plan B. If there is no money, there is no contingency plan. And there might not be, at this point in time, money. And then what you're left with is you, who are willing to probably work for free, and an intern who you have for 3 months.
I have for 3 months until
Right.
she's just like knock, knock, knock.
Right. So there's two contingency plans. There's the contingency plan that looks like you and an intern. And then there's a contingency plan of like we get money from someplace to make payroll and keep people on. Two roads there.
Okay,
So I
get
stopped the
money,
third
which is
road.
the
Yeah.
ideal.
Right. So
Get
then
that
it's
money.
like, yeah, that would be where I would preoccupy myself in the immediacy. It's like, where else can we get money? How much do we need to give us a runway to keep people on board? Like, it's sort of plotting that out. You have to know how much money at minimum. And then
I
the
got
next
that
question.
number. I had like the bare
Okay.
bones, like how much it costs to publish the book.
Yeah. So then, where are you going to get it from?
Where I can get it from?
Where can you get this money from?
Like the three things that come to mind right away is like some fancy, wonderful person who wants to donate.
A patron.
A patron of the arts. Do they exist? Hi, hello. My name is Libby French. DM me. A GoFundMe type initiative, which I really don't want to do. Like, it's so much work and so much labor. And like, I also think of a GoFundMe can be like really nice and cute, but I don't want to do it for a first book project. It's almost like I would like to do it. I would like to save it until I need it. I don't want to like my business to be like a string of GoFundMes. I've seen other art projects, and this is not an art project, this is a publishing company, right? It's supposed to make money. So I don't like the optics of that. And that's no shame to anyone who's done a GoFundMe. It's just not my route, but I'm just saying it because that's another option. And then the third one's just like a business loan.
The thing about the GoFundMes is that if you're doing it usually for a business, it requires an audience. It requires, it's
We
called,
got that.
yeah, that's great. It's called, I'm just saying, like, for everybody listening, it's called crowdsourcing. There has to be a crowd because I've seen a lot of people just try to do it. They do not have a crowd. And it's like, well, that's not working. And then when you do it, though, with your personal life, your friends, your family, you get one of those. You kind of get one in your life because that's basically reaching out and saying, this is it, guys. This is the big ask. And you better make
Absolutely.
sure that you only need it, and then to use it for a professional project versus like health or dire need. Like, you got to weigh that because your friends and your family can be there usually for you once, because then they're being there for other people who are asking another time.
Absolutely.
So, have you looked into this SBA loan, like a small business loan?
Like when we first opened up, we were looking in the loan category. So originally, just like without too much detail, it was a dual company with myself and my other co-founder, and she's dropped off, so now it's just me. So initially, we were looking into small business loans, a number of them, and because she is younger than I am in Canada, they have like these like futurepreneur loans. So it's like anybody under 35 who's starting a small business, they have like better interest because they're young people. But now I look cute, but I'm much older than 35, so those don't apply to me anymore. And like right at this moment, I'm like, yeah, it's not ideal. I could look back at the numbers and see how the interest rates have changed because that was a conversation 2 years ago, but I have looked at those things.
The caution around, and I know you've already thought about that. I'm just expressing it for everybody listening. The caution around the small business loan would be because publishing isn't like a big windfall.
No.
It's like, how do I pay
We
that down?
won't recoup back. Yeah, we won't recoup that money back in like a year and a half. That'd be great if it was a year and a half, but more likely 2 to 5 years.
And so, with the patron aspect, is there any aspect like Obviously, you have your ethnicity. You have the fact that you're a female. I don't want to presuppose that. But yeah, she, her. So,
No, I am. See
POC, female. And then is there anything about the book that you've chosen to publish that speaks to a particular interest group or a type of person who would want this out in the world?
Yeah,
And
and then
then,
even when you were talking about, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
no, go ahead.
I heard another sound. Like the previous question, Sean's question about abstract art. So this poet, they are also a visual artist as well, and their visual arts career is actually taking off quite a bit. And so I actually haven't really thought creatively about what that could look like because they're like a they're a double threat, not a triple threat. Maybe. So if it's not a patron that is down for poetry and poetry book publication, but there are people who are lovers of poetry, she's also a sculptor, which is also pretty interesting and unique. And her work has just been exhibited at two one really large gallery recently here in Toronto. So yeah, I haven't really thought of that angle, mainly because I just asked, we reached out to this artist, or excuse me, poet in February, and then we kind of got the contracts dealt and settled with. So they have not signed the contract yet, and that's mainly because I haven't heard from the grant council yet. So there, it would be really crappy to just shut the whole thing down. And I really don't want to do that. But sorry, I'm not answering your original question, which is yes, there is something that kind of like a unique, I guess, value proposition about this book, not just it's being poetry or not just because it's like a black queer feminist type writer, which is also very cool, but she's a sculptor and she's had her work exhibited. So it's that's mainly the reason why I thought it was really interesting. And it's also not her first book, so it's not a debut, it's like a sophomore title. Yeah, I don't know. I would have to actually think about it a little bit deeper about who, what type of patrons would be willing to support or like even partially back some of it. Because really the thing that I need the most is production support, like the production coordinator, because I don't know how to make the book. I need to hire someone to make the book. And the intern can help me out with the rest. The other person who I just recently hired was an administrative assistant for me because there's just too many other little things and doodads, but my mom's in retirement, so maybe I can beg her to do that. 3 months until I can find the money for the other person. Also not ideal because I don't really work well with my mom, but she'll do it because she loves me.
Yeah.
I had to teach her some email etiquette, but at least we work
Let
it.
go of the caps key, Mom. Let go of the caps key.
Yeah, it's more just like she's just like, yeah, it's like a full stop and.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to say is that what's even more important that than protecting your business is protecting you. Because without you, there is no business.
Yeah, and it's becoming more and more apparent, unfortunately.
Yeah. And
Like in my brain, it's like literally like before my co-founder left and then after my co-founder left, and I can feel the shift in the way that the company is perceived, and I gotta just have to step it up. And that's a larger conversation because I would love to have more leadership support. I just don't have the capacity to like do that. And to be honest, the way that things went down wasn't the best. So I also have some trust issues, but I'll save that for therapy.
Understandable. So to wrap this up, I would encourage you to find people to talk to about how you get a patron. It might be interesting to go to the owner of the gallery that your writer just showed at and say, could I just have a 20-minute meeting with you?
That would be very smart.
Because
I didn't even think about
people,
that.
open galleries and open restaurants because they're funded by other people who give them the money to open the gallery, open the restaurant, open the thing and do the thing. There's patrons out there. You just don't know yet, like, ooh, what's that world? And how do I need to, find my way in that? So anybody you can
Yeah,
ask,
that's
and
smart.
I would give yourself a time period.
Okay.
I would say, I'm going to do my darndest. I'm going to do a sprint over the next 4 weeks. And then I have to make a decision about this. Either something happens in the 4 weeks, universe, work with me, or it's I need to stop and pull
Yeah.
back and reevaluate and let your people know we're doing a 4 week sprint on this. And then you might be unemployed. Feel free to start looking for a new job. Like, let them go, just like we
Yeah,
talked
I have
about.
enough money to pay them for the end of the month, so that's actually 4 weeks actually makes sense.
Yeah. So you just do
I'll
this,
just be
see what
transparent with them.
happens. And then you, because you can't keep sprinting because you will burn out.
I'm already feeling it,
I
if I'm
can hear
honestly.
it in your voice. I just want to give you the biggest hug.
Thank you.
Yes.
This is useful though, because I can also the gallery that she showed her work. Absolutely could contact them for a conversation. I also know the curator as
Yeah.
well. I have a
Anybody
working relationship with the curator.
who anybody you can think of, anybody your friends know, just you need to talk to people about money. Who's out there about, getting patrons. And I would highly recommend you listen to any episode you that strikes your fancy of the podcast, How I Built This, because
Okay.
you will hear stories of people who are like, oh, it was a shit show. I did this. Like, you need to understand you are not alone in this. And great, wonderful, big things are often started like this, two steps forward, 18 steps back, and then
Oh,
you do
my
it
steps.
again.
I
And it
just,
doesn't reflect on you and your morality and your worthiness and your
thank you.
intelligence and your hustle. It doesn't. This shit, you didn't know your partner was gonna leave. Like, just this is life.
Nope.
I've got to go, everybody, because I have another appointment really soon, but this has been great.
You so much.
Come back week after next and we'll do this again. Bye, guys. Thank you, Kate. Bye, everybody.